It's Wednesday, June 23rd, 2021. I'm Tanya Harris, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. Yesterday, after every Republican senator voted against debating the For the People Act, which had it passed would have paved the way for all Americans to have equal access to voting, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said that there's nothing wrong with our current voting system. This begs the question, would you mind mentioning that to the Republicans in Georgia, Texas, and Arizona, Mitch? In an 8-1 decision, the Supreme Court ruled that a Pennsylvania school could not punish a cheerleader for using curse words on Snapchat outside of school in a win for student free speech rights. Give me an F. Give me a U, wrote Justice Sonia Sotomayor for the majority. Although the winner of the Democratic New York primary, mayoral primary, may not be decided for weeks, former presidential candidate turned mayoral hopeful Andrew Yang has already conceded based on his distant fourth place standing in the vote tally, proving that the guy who promoted math in the 2020 presidential election knew how to use it when it came to his chances of winning. The New York Times conducted lab tests on Subway tuna sandwiches and could not find DNA evidence to confirm it to be actual tuna. Sadly, Subway's claim to serve tuna is the only thing fishy about their sandwiches. Several celebrities, including George Clooney, Don Cheadle, Eva Longoria, Kerry Washington, and Mindy Kaling, are starting a Los Angeles public high school that has a focus on film and TV creation, giving kids from lower-income families an equal chance of getting their dreams crushed after it's too late to have a, quote, real career. Last weekend's five-day country music festival in Kentucky, dubbed the Redneck Rave, ended in 14 arrests, one sliced off finger, one strangulation, one slit throat, and one impalement. No word yet on when Antifa will be blamed for all of it. Chris Brown is once again being investigated for the assault of a woman after an altercation this past Friday morning. You have to wonder when his record company will let him go, considering that the only Chris Brown hits anybody talks about usually involve the police being called. Nick Cannon's girlfriend, Alyssa Scott, confirmed that he is the father of her unborn child, which would make this his fourth child with three women in the past year alone. Nick Cannon may not be an anti-masker, but he really should have worn more protection during COVID. Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib has the league's top-selling jersey after coming out as the first openly gay NFL player earlier this week. As usual, the gays were wearing the hottest clothing for years before the rest of society figured it out. People online are in an uproar over the release of the trailer for BET's new film, Karen, calling the movie trailer a cheap knockoff version of a Jordan Peele socially conscious thriller. Of course, no one is admitting to being a Karen over the movie, since that would be a little too meta. Now, let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily cast and crew roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. Now, before we start today, I have to say that I woke up this morning and I put on my Elton John Goodbye Yellow Brick Road concert t-shirt. And then hours later, he announced that the last U.S. concert is going to be here in Los Angeles. So I feel like I kind of like, you know, knew something was going to happen. So
it's called manifesting.
Elton John Whisperer. Let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
I was really excited to read about the Redneck Rave that they had in Kentucky this past weekend, because I'd never heard of it. And then after looking it up, I found that it's basically kind of like Burning Man for people that have no chance of making an honest living. And so it was just, and they apparently impaled somebody at it. So that's really good.
Okay. Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts. It's good to talk to you all again. And a very happy National Pink Day. Pink the color, not Pink the singer.
When's her day?
I don't know, but I'm going to look it up and see if I can find when Pink the Singer's National Day.
I was going to say every day.
Every day should be Pink Day. I agree. Danny, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing great. I got my pink drink, the strawberry acai from Starbucks. I'm still a little shook because we had an earthquake not about an hour ago.
We did?
Feel it?
Yeah, it was just 3.4 off of El Segundo.
El Segundo.
But it took a lot longer here because I had to take some anxiety meds because I'm still a little shook, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't feel anything.
I didn't feel it at all.
Stuart.
It's also National Let It Go Day, so I'm going to try to let it go as long as it doesn't come back.
let's see what other things we can get you to let it go today.
How's it going, everybody?
Hi, Stuart and Elizabeth.
I'll tell you what, Danny's never going to let go of his hatred of Julianne Hough.
Hate is too strong of a word.
Never.
In order to hate someone, you actually have to care for them. And I just don't care.
Look, he's not going to let it go. You're right.
Damn.
I thought you that was let go day. What happened?
I think we're going to get to the point where we're going to have a tag team match with Peter and Danny versus Julianne Hough and Ryan Seacrest in the ring. And I'll pay to see that.
Actually, I wanted to ask that question, Danny. When those two crazy kids broke up, were you in favor of Ryan at that time, or did you just kind of ambivalent about the whole experience?
I was like, really? Okay. Like, we didn't expect that one, right?
I mean, you know, you can only keep a beard too long before it starts to get itchy.
There you go. But just like that, I want to start tonight's show. So we have a lot to talk about today, so let's get started. We have been off for 5 days and a lot has happened, so we thought we would devote tonight's show to getting caught up in the biggest news stories that happened while we were gone with just one question. Our first story. This morning, the Supreme Court ruled that a Pennsylvania high school did not have the right to cut a cheerleader from the team after she wrote a profane Snapchat message, about the team and the school, with the court saying that she had the First Amendment rights to express herself, regardless of whether or not it's distasteful. So my question is, should teens and younger people have the same First Amendment rights than adults do, or could they be curbed in some of the same ways that in most states, people under a certain age do not have, let's say, like the right to own a gun, the way others do under the Second Amendment? So there's a lot happening here. And I was telling Pete before we get started, there's a lot of layers to this story. And I was looking at it from an ex-educator's point of view. And I think Danny will probably, you know, have something to say about that. So let me hear what you guys have to say first. Let's start with you, Stuart.
Absolutely. Kids should have the same First Amendment rights as adults. It's ridiculous that that was even a question. Schools are trying to punish people for things to do outside of school is ridiculous. Schools not giving students the right to due process they would receive outside of school is also ridiculous. That's another, the Supreme Court has ruled that it's legal. I don't think it should be, but that's students' rights are relatively curbed in school. And if they're going to do that outside of school, it's even more ridiculous.
Okay, so before we continue, I'm going to go to you, Elizabeth, next. Mm-hmm. But before we continue, I just want to establish a couple things just so we're all on the same page. Mm-hmm. Does everybody know, like, the logistics of the story? So she was not at school when she did the Snapchat, correct, Pete?
Yes.
She wasn't wearing any school-affiliated clothing, correct, as no. well? So she was just kind of, like, on her own time. Okay, got it.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
I'm actually going to kick into Joe because he had his hand up before me.
Oh, Joe, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay. No, I'm with Stuart. I know it gets tricky. I'm sure with, like, if it was maybe something racist or offensive, but that's still their own time to say or do what they're doing, especially if they weren't on school grounds. They're not wearing anything school affiliated and things like that. It's, you know, it's sort of like if your job. Wow, this is so complicated, though, because everyone's going to be like, well, how can you get fired for being, like, a racist jerk when you're not on
school? You're required to go to school. That's the difference.
That's a good point, I guess.
You're legally obligated to.
But yeah, but generally, like, I agree with it because, yeah, she wasn't involved in doing anything in school. It was, if I recall, the message was simply like, fuck this, fuck school, fuck whatever. It was fuck pretty enough.
It was fuck softball.
Fuck softball?
Yeah, that was because I think that was what they were cheering for.
Okay.
Fuck softball. Which so, I'm yeah. okay with. Fuck softball.
I was going to say, and as far as like things to get someone in trouble for, this is pretty innocuous compared to a racist or like anti-LGBTQ or like a violent statement. Being some little mild teenage nihilism, not worth kicking her out of school and making them go through the process of going through to all the way to the Supreme Court. It's a sliding scale. Like I said, it gets tricky when things obviously like if it's a personal attack on another student, I know that can complicate things, but generally in kind of the broadest sense, you know, if you're off school time, school shouldn't have control of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very tricky, and it's also a public school too, right? It's mm-hmm. not a private school, so that's another factor, you know, to keep in mind. But like what you were saying, Elizabeth, and I'll go to you, Joe, next too. I have so many things in my head mm-hmm. right now. Like you're saying, okay, so what if she had made a racist statement? Let's mm-hmm. just say she did, right?
Yeah.
First Amendment freedom of speech.
Yeah.
But should they not be allowed to? That's where I'm, you know, there's just so many different things to consider. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so again, that would be technically freedom of speech because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to agree with it, but she has the right to say whatever she wants. So yeah. I think that's why this is such a big story to talk about because of all that, to all those factors.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, that it could, it's a big impact on student rights, which I think, like I said, is generally a very good thing because mm-hmm. schools, especially now, already treat so much of it like a prison, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think have too much sort of influence outside. Now, obviously, that gets even further complicated with remote schooling now. And, you know, not that that was the case with this particular case, but, you know, what do you do if you're schooling at home? You know, school is in your home now, basically, or has been for the past year.
Right.
And then I don't know if people in the corporate world will turn to this as either like, look, you can't sue me because,
yep.
yes, because I said, you know, horrible racist things. Mm-hmm. And generally, you know, it is free speech. And like, similarly, once you're not, if you're not on company time, the company should not have any say over what you do. Kind of like Stuart was saying, the company also, you know, everything's an at-will employment situation. Whoops, don't mean to try to flash my address with my mail. My cat was just trying to eat a piece of paper. But the requirements are different in the contract, you know.
Yeah. So, I was thinking the same thing too. Like, you know, before we were talking, you know, before mm-hmm. we started the show, I said, what if, you know, now corporations start doing this with adults as well? And mm-hmm. like, you know, it's free speech. I can say whatever I want. So yeah. It is. It's very tricky. Joe, and then I'm going to go to Pete. Go ahead, Joe.
The difference though is this isn't like if I work for a company and I disparage that company, even if I do it on my own time, my company can fire me over the fact that like I don't have, they're afraid I'm going to do something to the company or something like that. There's just a little different things here. Now, school, she's got to go to school. Mm-hmm. But I don't see any problem with her on her own time saying something disparaging about a school. To punish somebody for saying something that they're not, that they don't like about it or aren't happy about it, I think gets to be a problem. Now, like you said, if there was something racist or something like that that will incite some pretty nasty things, I think you might have a right for it there under the fact that it may be inciting mm-hmm. a factor that is in that. But under regular stuff, I think in a way it's kind of shitty. I think kids should be able to have a say, and that's the way they talk nowadays. I mean, I'm yeah. pretty sure that I wasn't a big fan of one of the teams at school either. But you see, here's the other thing. Because you're teaching kids about the amendments and you're teaching kids that they have free speech and then don't give it to them. That's an even bigger thing. Now, the other thing that the learning thing in this is that yes, you have free speech, but you have consequences. She's going to go back, and now the softball team knows that she thinks that softball sucks. Mm-hmm. And if the softball team starts getting on her case about it, hey, guess what you've just learned? What you said does have consequences mm-hmm. beyond that. So to me, all the way around, it's a learning thing, but I agree with what they said. Like she has mm-hmm. the right to say what she wants, but she also has to know that there may be consequences involved with what she says.
Right.
It's a great learning experience, but like you can't kick someone out of school for it. But I don't like the fact that they're getting kicked off of stuff for saying what's on your mind.
Yeah. Let me get to
and the public school is technically a government institution, and right. it's the government right. can't silence you. That's the First Amendment. A corporation right. is different,
Right, exactly.
And you're absolutely free, like you said, to say what you want, but not from the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm. Wait till we start talking about hot lunch, because that fish stick day, I'm going to complain the shit about that.
Pete, and then I'll go to Danny. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, so I'm going to preface what I'm going to say first with that I am all for the First Amendment and free speech, obviously. That being said, I looked up this morning something just to see if it was true or not, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says that children aren't allowed to bear guns in the Second Amendment. There's no age limit on bearing a weapon. It's basically that American citizens have the right to defend themselves. But we've chosen at some point to say children probably shouldn't have a gun because guns could hurt somebody, and a child isn't developmentally like at a point in their lives where they could understand the ramifications of what would happen if they use a weapon like that. Now, we're in an era that because of social media, that the words you say can be a weapon just as well. And I kind of think in some way that free speech is important, but at the same time, when you have somebody who doesn't know what the effects of that free speech are, that it could in essence hurt them and hurt other people. So maybe not giving those kids, tacit approval of anything they say, because it's under the guise of free speech, is kind of a good thing, because, where does that go from there? I mean, what if she had said on there that the woman or man who runs the cheerleading program is a bitch, and I wouldn't mind if they dropped dead tomorrow, and then the next day that person ended up dead. Now, at that point, then she might be culpable, and under the law, she could potentially be culpable for a crime. So
how did the bitch?
Yeah, if she went over and shot the person, yeah. But she got hit by
a fucking car. That's not her fault.
But the thing is, like, because kids are impressionable. Let's say there's a young boy in her class, young girl in her class that has an infatuation with her, and then sees that and then acts upon it because kids do irrational things when they're kids. So
they do, regardless of what they post on social media. And the gun analogy is faulty because kids get their hands on guns all the fucking time.
Also, she went to Final Destination High School.
What I'm trying to say is that we have made sure that there are certain things in our rights that kids are kind of, there's kind of a provision somewhere not spoken, not written into law that says kids are not appropriate for this yet. And I think that free speech is great, but I think there's also a limit to what your free speech can be when you're at a certain age, because you do have the ability to damage yourself and damage others. Now, I mean, the reality of this is I don't have any problem with what she did. I don't have any problem that they fought this. I think the people that are going to have a problem are parents, because she's clearly like a Dr. Phil case waiting to happen. Because if you've seen any of the interviews with her, she is I think she's 15 now. She's a little rag for 15 years old. She's got a shit attitude.
Welcome to meet it every fucking teenager.
Have you met a teenager?
No, but if you really watch any of the interviews,
I couldn't get through it. Yeah, I watched an interview with her. I couldn't get through it.
She's been coached by a lawyer to keep saying, I was 14, because the reality of it is, no 15-year-old or 14-year-old uses that as an excuse. I was too young to know that I shouldn't have done that. They don't do that. That's a lawyer talking. And so basically she was like, I was 14, and so whatever I say when I'm 14, I shouldn't be held responsible for, because I'm a kid. Well, guess what? You know what? Like Joe said, there are ramifications for everything you do in life. And the ramification is that, that a school gave her a hard time. She ended up getting this somehow, and it got all the way to Supreme Court. And the ramification is really going to be on two parents, and eventually on some very, very unaware adult who will eventually one day marry her, who doesn't realize that they have a nightmare to deal with now because somebody what? Always might.
Your whole you don't want kids to do this because they're not ready yet, but they all should learn that their actions have consequences. So which is it?
The thing is, what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that kids shouldn't have the right to say things. I'm saying that if we're gonna police things based on the fact that they're kids and we should treat them differently than adults, then we also have to look at everything else that they do and put it under that same classification. Well, okay, we're not letting them use guns. We're not letting them drive cars. Now car thing isn't in the Constitution because they didn't have cars back then. But the reality of it is there's a lot of things that kids do that they shouldn't be doing and they shouldn't be able to use. Well, the founding fathers told me I could do it, so that's why I get away with it. That should not be.
Before we move on, I actually want to read, our friend Mike McGrath. He's got a PhD. He's an educator. He's in administration. This is what he's writing right now. He says, the ruling does not give students unrestricted free speech. It measures her words in relation to the school's authority. Had she said things negatively about individuals on the team, then she would not have prevailed. So that's what the actual ruling is saying. I should have had Mike come on today. I should have asked you to come on.
Totally accurate.
So at the end of the day, it's exactly what I'm saying because the thing is, free speech is only free to a certain point. Once you get past that point, it ain't free anymore. So there's no, I mean, when it comes to kids, there has to be some barriers.
Yeah. Let me hear from Danny and then I'll go back to you, Stuart, because I haven't heard from him. Go ahead, Danny.
So she wanted to be a cheerleader and cheer for her school, but yes, she's saying F this, F that. All right.
She was a cheerleader for the school.
Let me drink my tea.
Yeah, welcome to the contradiction of teenagers again.
But that's an excuse. I agree with Peter and I agree with Joe. There are consequences for your free speech. Hey, we all have that right, but there are consequences. Just like you can't go into a movie theater and start yelling fire, fire. You can't do that. Back in the school where Veronica and I used to teach, we had to sign a contract. And in that contract, we had to hold ourselves accountable for our actions outside the school because wherever we were representing the school. It was a Catholic school. It was a private school. But, you couldn't go out there and get arrested. You couldn't go out there and get drunk, in public. You had to uphold yourself to a certain standard. I just went through this same type of training at my work site. I actually took the training today. So a lot of this is still fresh in my mind. You are representing your work site. And yes, certain things you post, as even though it's free speech, can be held against you.
But you're an adult who signed a contract. That's different than a fucking
boss. Also, don't have to work at this school.
Yeah.
If she does not go to school, she can go to Judy. That's like there is a legal obligation for her to be there, so she doesn't have a choice.
I understand that, but the thing is, you have to be held accountable for what you say. And what she's creating is she's creating a hostile environment at her school. Do you think these cheerleaders or these softball teenagers are going to want her at their games, regardless of whether she's there cheering for them or not? No. She's going to have this negative aura about her now because people are going to think, oh, well, she can come in and say whatever she wants. And they're not going to want her around. Plain and simple.
But they're... None of you guys were teenagers with Snapchat. I severely think you're underestimating just how tame this is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
I
said these things daily in school. And honestly, so did everybody else. And the reality is that you want to hold kids to a standard where they have to represent the school. They have to, be accountable for their actions. Well, you know what? If they were an adult, they wouldn't be. Because they get fired from their job, but you can't arrest her for saying this. You can't punish her. The government can't punish her for saying this, but they can if she's a kid.
And also,
with what Michael was saying, she already doesn't have the same rights as an adult. Because if you're an adult and you say, fuck this person, that's perfectly legal. Like, it's rude, but it's perfectly legal. If she says, fuck, you know, that teacher or whatever, she can get suspended from school. Is that fair? I would say no, but it is already the law that she has that limit on her speech.
But here's the thing, Stuart.
And also, it was outside of school, though, right?
That's the biggest thing.
It was outside of school. And I know you signed a contract to represent your company. I think most of us have in some cases. And like, but why does a company, you know, whether it's a private school in your case, or I work for a large corporation technically, why do they get to control what I fucking do outside of work? And why does the school get to control what she does outside of school? This was outside of school. It's not like she walked up to the softball team and told them to go fuck themselves during a game.
Which it happens all the time. Kids do that all the time with each other. Nothing happens.
She wasn't in her cheerleading uniform. She wasn't cheering right then.
It doesn't matter, but she's a cheerleader. People who know her.
Okay, well, she's a fucking cop.
She's supposed to be actually a representative of the school.
She's not a representative of the school. She's a prisoner of the school. She has no choice whether or not she is a representative of the school or not.
It doesn't matter. If you're a cheerleader, you don't go saying F the school. You want to say F the school, don't be a cheerleader.
Should she have said it? Maybe. Probably not.
Did she mean it that seriously either? Like, how many of us have said fuck our high school even? You like your fucking high school.
So then don't be held accountable for the stuff you say online?
But not
by the school.
The
school has no right to hold her accountable for anything she does outside of school.
This is where we see the age gap on this panel.
It's called the freedom gap, baby. Break the chain.
We know how teenagers are now.
Sorry, yes, Veronica.
Okay, I'm sorry, guys. I want to read you the code of conduct that the school says that all these, you know, students are supposed to follow. And this is directly from them. And I have it right here up on the screen. Students are supposed to have respect for their school, coaches, and other cheerleaders, avoid foul language and inappropriate gestures, and refrain from sharing negative information regarding cheerleading, cheerleaders, or coaches on the internet. So, I mean, I think, again, and this is just another problem, you know, and I hate to sound like the old lady on the panel, but it's like, you know, what you say has consequences, and people need to understand that.
She faced them.
It's a great way to learn it. It's a great way to learn it.
Yeah.
I'd rather learn it than decide what the consequences are.
Snapchat, and kids nowadays are like, oh, it's going to disappear in 24 hours, anything that you post on the internet, and we all know that. And then they're learning this too. But now what we're going to start seeing is everybody now, I mean, all these other kids are going to start like, fuck this, fuck that. You know what?
They're not going to start. They already
choked their belly. Oh, God.
You guys have not been on Snapchat in high school.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Doesn't anybody get the point that sometimes the things that we all hated growing up and all hated in school were things that were actually done for our best, to look out for our best interest? Because nowadays, because
a lot of those things are terrible. And they still were terrible. They're terrible.
Ended up on my permanent record.
Yeah, codes of conduct, dress codes. So many of this stuff is bullshit, arbitrary in the first place, put together.
It doesn't mean that these kids don't need the guidance to keep themselves from doing things they shouldn't do. I mean, I thank God every day that there wasn't social media when I was a kid, because I would have done things 1,000 times worse than what this girl did. And so I sympathize with the situation she's in, because I know I would have been worse because I was worse when I was actually in school. But the reality of it is, some of the stuff that we hated then, now we have to look at and say, you know what? That was to keep me from going down a path that I would have done something.
But who stopped you? How did you learn to stop? Parents or the school?
If you don't learn respect for authority, if you don't learn respect for others, if you don't learn the things, if you don't learn to respect rules that you're taught, if you don't do that when you're a kid, you sure as fuck aren't going to learn them when you're 25 or 30 years old.
Agreed.
Then you won't get anywhere. And then it's not against the
rules. That's not against the rules, and nor should it be. That's why we all know that school spirit is.
You and I think, and you know, I'm sure all of us here on the panel, you know, we wouldn't have acted this way. I mean, at least I wouldn't have.
I would have been kicked out of every school I ever went to. I mean, I got kicked out once. So, I mean, I would have gotten kicked out of every school I ever went to if I had social media.
Right.
I am readily admitting I would have been worse. But what I'm trying to get at is, now as an adult, I see that there were certain things that I did then that were counter-interest to the good that I could do later in life. And the thing is, these kids every generation is going to be the same. They're not going to realize that the things that they do when their kids can follow them later. And especially now when it comes to social media, that becomes a big deal because the social media doesn't ever go away.
And they're not going to learn from it. And again, because the
I reject the fact that kids don't know that. Kids know that better than anybody.
But they don't seem to care.
But they don't care.
That's true. Okay. Maybe we don't care. But it's not that we don't know.
That doesn't mean, you know, that they still not protected under the First Amendment.
It's not that we don't know how the internet works.
Or disagree, because what they're saying in this case, and like what Mike was pointing out, and you know, what Elizabeth is saying, you know, and Stuart, it's like, yeah. I mean, she was outside of school. Do I agree with this? No. Do I think that there should be consequences, even if it's a public school? Yes, I do. Because again, it goes back to the way that I believe kids should be raised or the way that we were raised. But again, you know, like another example that I have at the private school where I used to teach, not the one with Danny, but at the other one that I was at, there was a situation where eighth graders decided to post an Instagram picture giving the finger, wearing our logo on their shirt.
So, well done, children. Don't fight the power. Don't let them tell you.
Somebody, of course, squealed on them, told the parents, and we have the right to
pictures giving the finger I took in school.
So, let me ask you this question. I know we can't spend all day on this one topic, but let me ask this question. This case was ruled in favor of the girl. Let's say tonight she gets on Instagram or gets on whichever Snapchat and says, you know what? I won this case. Fuck the teachers who told me I shouldn't do this. Fuck the kids in class who told me I shouldn't do this. Fuck everybody. I see that there is a limit to where free speech should go.
That's exactly what you should do.
But why do your rights only kick in when you're 18? That's ridiculous.
Because the thing is, you know,
especially something like the First Amendment. I don't mean a gun. I don't mean a car.
You shouldn't have a right to own a gun anyway.
Why is it that we have to be 21 to drink? It used to be you had to be 18 before.
Yeah, that's
a safety issue.
It's because of the fact that some things that we do when we're young are not in our best interest, and we just don't realize it. I'm not saying I'm against free speech. I think free speech is the most important thing we can have.
But what rule did you recall in your later years?
Who are you
years
to say what's in somebody's best right interest?
You kind of contradicted yourself, Stuart, because you said the drinking thing was a safety issue. Well, hate speech can easily turn into a safety issue because a lot of these people who shot up schools were bullied, and that's hate speech.
It's not hate speech. Saying fuck you isn't hate speech, okay? Hate speech is saying I'm going to murder this person
It wasn't a relentless campaign against the school, it was a one-off fucking tweet.
If she threatens violence, that's already illegal. Even regardless of whether she's on school grounds or not. If she says, I hate this piece of shit in my class, fuck you, Sally, or whatever.
By the way, this ire is coming from someone who followed all the fucking rules when I was a kid and a teenager. Trust me. I didn't get in trouble for shit, and I'm still like, burn this motherfucker down. I hope she goes off on Snapchat tonight.
And another thing with the code of conduct. Those code of conduct letters, you have to sign those.
I think at the end of the day, the lesson learned from this is that do what you want. Deal with the consequences for a little while, and sooner or later you'll be found to be okay with what you did. And the thing is, like, that's not a good lesson to learn when you're a kid.
Tell that to white men everywhere, man.
But that's not the point, Elizabeth. The point is that, you know what, when you are young, there are lessons that you're going to take that are going to go for the rest of your life. And hopefully, you know, this girl's not looking at this like, wow, I can now get away with whatever I want. And if somebody doesn't like it, I'll just, you know, my parents will sue them. Like, I mean, I'm hoping that that's not the case, because at the end of the day, it's going to make her a bad adult.
There's lots of ways to make a bad adult.
But I'm saying we've got enough bad adults. We don't need new ones that the Supreme Court is helping make.
You're not going to get me on this one, pal. I'm not back down.
And school spirit is brainwashing to help keep kids doll sound also get, that creates snitches. And you're making the other, you're making the other school the enemy. That's basically fascism. And I'd also like to point out that you can yell movie in a crowded firehouse.
Well, all I'm going to say is, you know, if this was me, you know, if I had done this when I was a kid, my parents wouldn't in a million years be like, oh, honey, we're going to sue for free speech. They would have beaten me until I was
born.
And again, it has to do with our upbringing. And I get that. And I think I get emotional about it because I see it from like the standpoint of, you know, me growing up and being a teacher and knowing how kids are, you know. And but again, you know, we worked in private school. So like that story that I was telling you guys. So we called these eighth graders in and we said, hey, what's this all about? Showing them the picture because one of the parents had a screenshot of it. We had all the right in the world to let, you know, to get, you know, to expel them because it was a private school. And that didn't agree with us. But again, you know, we didn't expel
them. But you also took into consideration how really innocuous that is at the end of the day. It's a little mild rebellion and they happen to be wearing the school t-shirts.
You know what? It's funny that you say that because I was pissed. I was like,
well, I know you were mad, but you also had enough sense to be like, at the end of the day, this is not.
They were just being kids, of course.
Exactly.
But I get that. But if like, but if the parents would have come and said, "Oh, well, we're going to sue because it's their first, you know, it's their First Amendment right to say what, you know, to give the finger if they want." The thing is, we were backing ourselves up because it is a private school, so we can refuse service, you know, to anybody, right, regardless of, you know, and B, you know, because they did have our school logo on their shirt. So it's like, you know, and by the way, when we went to a faculty meeting after, you know, with other schools, the principals were like, oh, your school, we heard about what happened. So we had that reputation that we had the eighth graders.
You mean as the coolest fucking school in the district? Hell yeah.
Difference is but you saw the picture that the kids posted. All the other principals didn't. That's the difference.
You know, oh, I'm sure. I'm like, I'm sure they did. But that's again. So I guess, you know, let's just move on because I think we're going to all agree to disagree on this one.
My parents would have told me not to make fun of the softball team because they have bats. Make fun of the chess team because you could easily snap those guys in half.
There you go. So speaking of teams, the Biden administration announced yesterday that they will not be meeting their goal of having 70% of Americans vaccinated by July 4th, mostly due to younger people refusing to get vaccinated. Although most of the country is now fully open, a lot of businesses are still requiring people to wear masks, while artists like the Foo Fighters have come under fire for doing shows exclusively for vaccinated people, and Morgan Stanley announced today that they will bar unvaccinated staff and clients from their offices. So my question is, for those arguing that it is their choice to not get vaccinated, shouldn't it also be okay when businesses and artists make the choice not to cater to them? Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
And all hail to my rock god, Dave Grohl. Good job. I love what they're doing.
Because if you...
Freedom of speech.
and you know, if you sign a contract with a corporation, let's say as an employee or something, they can set standards and make agreements with you, and you're not required to work there. You can work elsewhere if you don't want to be vaccinated at the company you work at. And, you know, businesses have the right to refuse service, and you can't suddenly cry, well, wait, I want to be serviced, just because you don't like their terms of service. I mean, barring, you know, actual, like, weird racist, you know, 60s reasons, you know what I mean? But, the whole anti-vaccination thing just in general is so insane to me, and... it is semi-surprising it's younger people, but I don't have an answer for that one.
My friend sent me a text a couple minutes before we went on, and it's from that God, the good God above. And I don't know if you guys saw it today, but it's people that don't want to get vaccinated against the deadly plague are literally too stupid to live. So I agree. Pete.
Well, I mean, the thing that I find so unique about this is that the argument against vaccination is it's my body, it's my choice. But then, like I said, when the Foo Fighters decided to do a concert and make the choice not to let people in that weren't vaccinated, it's not about it being somebody's choice any longer. It's about doing what the man told you and living under an oppression and everything else. No, it's a choice. It's an honest choice. And a figure that I gave last week, and I'll say it again, Less than 2% of our country are anti-vaxxers for anything prior to COVID. Less than 2%. There's something like 36 or 35% of the country is anti-vax just for COVID. So if anybody wants to tell me that this isn't just political and has nothing to do with anything other than that, then they're not looking at the facts. And the reality of this is the people that aren't getting vaccinated, and I struggle by saying this sometimes, but I feel this way. Anybody who gets sick from this now, who's not a healthcare worker, who's not a frontline person, anybody who gets sick from this, anybody who dies from this, tough shit. Fuck you. It's your fault. You had the technology in front of you to keep this from happening. I watched the story about an hour ago about a woman on she was on CNN talking about her and her husband who had decided not to get the vaccine. They live in Florida, where there's an incredible amount of misinformation about the vaccine because of their wonderful governor. And there was an outbreak in the business that they worked, and several people got it. Her husband died from it. And you know what? She's up there weeping and everything else. And I kept thinking to myself, so fucking what? One less stupid person left in the country. And the reality is that might sound heartless, but it's not, because nobody told them not to be vaccinated. Nobody told them that if they say it every day, you are risking your life by not doing this right now. So he took the risk. It's the same thing like a guy who bungee jumps. There's it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while, those bungee snap. And anybody who does it understands that when they jump off that bridge, there's a chance, even if it's a minute chance, that they will die from doing this. So when it does happen, guess what? You got the lottery ticket. You won. You were the one person that this happened to. And this is how it should be with COVID too. I mean, and I think that it's just asinine with this whole choice thing. Choice, 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 my ass. My choice is not to be next to somebody who's got COVID. And so I won't go to businesses that are actively going to put me next to those people. And I think the businesses are going to start to realize that anybody who values their life will either come to their businesses less or won't go at all. And that's when you'll see even more pushback.
Yeah, I've been going out more than I've ever been out for the past year. My mom is visiting now. So, like, you know, we've been to the store. We went to the grocery store this morning. And, you know, and I was telling Pete, you know, it's so interesting. So yesterday we were at a store and everybody was pretty much masked up. And there was one woman who wasn't wearing a mask. And then I was just kind of keeping my eye on her because I'm just, you know, I like to people watch and I just get curious. And she slowly took her mask out of her purse and put it on because I felt like she was like, oh, I'm the only person in this store not wearing a mask. And then today I went to it's like a Mexican grocery store and every single person was masked up in there, but there were two older white men, one of them wearing an American flag, proud to be an American, but older man not wearing a mask. And the other one was also older too. So it makes no sense to me at all whatsoever. Stuart and Elizabeth, and then we're going to move on.
A couple things. One, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need a mask. That's the CDC says that. That's what the data clearly states, that you're not at risk of passing it to people. And you're not at risk of getting it. So you don't need a mask.
No, there's a 6% chance you are. 6%. It's not complete.
No, it's not a 6% chance. It's not a 6% chance. There's a 6% chance the vaccine does not prevent you from testing positive from COVID. There's already a small chance that you're going to get COVID. There's the CDC estimated 1 in 10,000 that you even get COVID. And then it's likely to be asymptomatic because you have the vaccine. And if you're asymptomatic and you test positive with the vaccine, you still don't spread it to people. I'm telling you that 96% is not even, it's way, way, way higher than that. Secondly, I think that businesses requiring people, even if they're vaccinated, to wear masks is wrong. And here's why. If I'm not vaccinated, I am, but if I'm not, and I see that, oh, it's not going to change whether I'm vaccinated or not, I'm still going to have to do all these same requirements, what motivation do I have as someone who's not going to get COVID, who's not going to get a serious reaction to COVID because I'm young and healthy? If you're young and healthy, like, you have no incentive to get the vaccine if you still have to follow these rules. If you don't, once you're vaccinated, then you don't have to follow the rules, and that's a motivation to get vaccinated. There's no incentive for young people to get vaccinated now.
But shouldn't the incentive be like, you might not die?
Here's the thing. Someone with my profile is not going to die anyway.
But that's not.
No, that's not a guarantee. It really isn't.
It's very, very close. Really not. It's like car accident levels for my age
Stuart,
with my health.
I thought you moved back. I didn't know you were still
in Florida. I didn't know. What the hell? I know.
It's the continuing to have these restrictions doesn't help anybody. Doesn't encourage people to get vaccinated. It just says, oh, well, it's the same shit anyway.
But if you're not vaccinated, but the thing is, how does a business prove that you are or are not vaccinated? Yeah, exactly. None of them are checking.
That's why we need vaccine passports.
Okay. But that's the thing. Then that goes back into the politics thing. Yeah. And the reason why, the only reason why there are states that are saying we don't want the passport is because of Trump. Because it goes back to that whole thing. This has nothing to do with freedom the government trying to track you. I mean, there's the whole cruise industry is going to go under forever because of what Florida is doing to them right now. Because they're basically saying a death ship, because basically that's what cruises were prior to the pandemic, cannot test people to make sure that they don't have COVID before they get on those ships. So we're rolling the dice. And we're hoping that nobody gets sick on the boat, because once you're out at sea, you're fucked if they do.
But if you're vaccinated, so, you go on the cruise, you're fine.
But that's the thing. But you know,
right. But there are people who lie about it.
I
and those people are going to die, and that's on them. Tough this shit.
Maybe this is
can't say, tough shit if you get COVID and you're not vaccinated, it's terrible. People are dying if they're not vaccinated from COVID.
What you're missing the point of is that maybe as I've gotten older, I've realized that if there's a percentage chance that I might do something that might kill me. Like, okay, I get in the car anytime day or night, you could be killed driving the car. But okay, that's a little bit different. But if I'm going to jump into a fucking ocean where there's been sharks seen recently in that area, and somebody says, well, the likelihood of you getting attacked by a shark is like 1 in 100,000. I'm probably not going to jump in the fucking ocean where the shark has been seen, because my life means enough to me to say, I don't want to risk that. And you know what, and the second thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to say to somebody else, hey, come jump in the ocean with me, because I'd hope that somebody that I cared enough about enough to want to come swim with me somewhere, I wouldn't want to see them get eaten by a shark. And so I don't want to put anybody else at risk either at my age. Now, you can make the argument that being young and healthy will keep you from getting COVID, but it will also not keep somebody else older who has not been vaccinated, who comes into contact with you when you're young and healthy, from getting COVID and getting seriously ill and dying.
But if they're not vaccinated, that's their fault.
But you're right. Not being vaccinated.
I'm saying you're having a both ways.
If you get COVID and you haven't been vaccinated because you chose not to, fuck you. You deserve COVID. But I get that. But what I'm trying to say is, anybody who's telling me it's because I'm young and healthy, they're not thinking about any older person that's not young and healthy that they could come into contact with after a year and a half of being told it's not you that you have to be protecting you've got to protect yourself from it. It's you're protecting other people with masks and everything else. People at this point should just learn to have some fucking civility and some sensitivity towards others, because that's the part that kills me about what's happened over the last year and a half. It's just how completely insensitive so many people in this country are to
and
others.
Selfish.
And it's selfish and it's disgusting. And it's like, and it's reached the point where it, every time I see this, I want to be ill, because I keep thinking to myself, so many people didn't have to die if people had just learned not to be selfish. Mm-hmm. And it's just a horrible thing. Why did so many less people die in other countries? And I'm even saying countries that have more cases, you know, like India that had a lot of cases, still per capita, we're the worst. We're the worst. You know, and that just goes to show you how fucking selfish the people in this country are, or at least a percentage of them are. And so I don't care about if you're 25 and you're not going to die from it. If you get it and then you give it to somebody else, then you should fucking go. At this point, you should go to fucking jail as a murderer.
Peter, my point is that
you could have avoided it. Because if you got a car drunk and hit somebody, if you're 25 and I can handle my alcohol because I'm young, and you get a car and you hit somebody with that car who's 50 who wasn't drinking, you know, it's manslaughter or murder at that point. So I don't see where the difference is any longer.
People are selfish. That's why we need to have incentives for them personally to get vaccinated, not just for the good of society. Because they already have it.
That's what the incentive should be.
Yeah, that's clearly not enough, is my point.
This is what makes me crazy. And I've said this before.
For a lot of people.
I've kind of said this right now. One of the things that this pandemic did, and it's shameful, it just really showed how selfish we are as a country. And the fact that we have access to everything, information, drive-through vaccinations, whatnot, and you still have to offer people fucking free donuts to get a vaccine or to win money or to do this. I mean, it just, to me, I'll never understand.
Well, I mean, you're being brainwashed because a guy I went to high school with who barely passed biology told me that he read an article that Joe Rogan recommended from another guy that said vaccines are actually secretly dangerous and full of microchips and stuff. So, I mean, you want to be a sheeple, man. I mean, that's on you, so, I guess.
And Stuart, you said it was 6%?
But the vaccines are like 94% effective.
So it was 6%?
No, well, Peter was saying that it was 6%.
But 2%, but 2% of people's houses will get broken into. Yet how many people have alarms?
But it's not even close to 6%. It's like
2% is way less than 6%.
It's like a 1 in 10, 11,000 chance. 6% was an incorrect number is what I'm saying.
Okay. So earlier this week, Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to come out as gay. My question is, although he's being praised for his courage to admit this, is there any chance that this won't affect his career adversely, or do you think that Americans have turned a corner on accepting gay athletes? Elizabeth.
I think within the actual NFL, it won't necessarily hurt his career. I don't know a ton about the NFL. I'm just thinking player to player, team to team, maybe, hopefully. I think on the broader scale with fans, it'll get dicey because football is the most macho, toxically masculine sport. And, you know, I think people are really going to backlash him. But I feel like the jerseys selling well is a good sign that maybe, I don't know. Yeah, I think it's at least he didn't kneel during the anthem, I guess, you know, worse right. sins.
Exactly. Pete.
Well, I think there's absolutely no chance he's in the NFL in 2 years. He may not be in the NFL next year. Well, he might be for like 3 or 4 months because they're going to want to pretend like this doesn't affect them. But especially with the NFL, there's other sports too that would be like this. But as we learned several months back, the NFL is an incredibly conservative league. It's the most conservative league in professional American
sports. I guess it's just really hopeful.
And if anybody wants to see how this is going to get handled, look at how many people praised Colin Kaepernick when he took a knee for the first 3 months after it happened. And the reality of it is, people praised the fuck out of him for doing that the same way they're praising this guy for coming out as gay. And you know what? He should get praised for coming out because he has to know what the reality of this is. But yeah, this is going to be a huge backlash to him, and it's going to end his career a lot sooner than it should have. And I'm not saying that he should have done it for that reason. I'm just saying it's really terrible that we have pro sports that treat people that way and that they'll put them in that box. I mean, the only thing would have been worse is if he'd come out, you know, as a NASCAR driver and been gay, because he probably wouldn't have been able to ride that weekend. Yeah. So at least They'll make some effort to try and pretend it's not a big deal when the NFL season starts. And then by about week 5 or 6, if he misses one tackle, you'll see how quickly that goes away.
Yeah. Stuart, then I'll finish with Danny. Go ahead, Stuart.
Yeah, well, once again, Peter's wrong. I mean, he might be out of the league in a few years anyway because NFL careers are short and he's already 28. First of all, there have been multiple gay players in the NFL who are known to be gay in the locker room,
but not by
their teammates, but not publicly. The difference is, I don't think with Kaepernick, kneeling for the national anthem is much more unpopular than being gay. That's the reality.
I think you're wrong.
And the reality is, you know, the players don't give a fuck. The players don't care. None of the players have an issue.
Stuart, can I stop you for 1 second? I want to stop you for one second. Let me ask you this question. Tell me the truth. How many good old boys in Alabama would be more upset that their son wants to kneel at a football game than wants to suck another guy's dick?
It's not like, their son. I'm just asking that question.
The difference is it's
a stranger.
And who watches the NFL more than anybody else?
No, it's the difference is that it's a stranger. Trust me. I'm an NFL fan. I have been my whole life. A lot of my friends are. Even in conservative circles now, people they may not like gay people, but they don't have the same vitriol for. They're not going to have the same vitriol for Carl Nassib as they do for Colin Kaepernick. Not even close. I mean, people
because Colin Kaepernick was black.
That's a big part of it.
So if this guy was a black NFL player who came out as gay, then would we?
It might be different. Yes, it might be different. But I think because he's also like not a star player. So like, I mean, you know, most fans didn't know who he was before this anyway. So I don't think they're really gonna care. I don't think it makes a huge difference. I think he's not a star player. He's already a rotational defensive end. So he might be out of the league in a couple years anyway, but I don't think him being gay is going to negatively affect his career at this point in our society. I mean, with Michael Sam, the difference was he was a seventh round pick already on the fringe. And it was, obviously people were, it is like a distraction because, you know, people are getting asked questions about it. But I mean, he's already proven himself in the league. He's already a solid backup. I don't see it really negatively affecting him. I think there are some fans who have an issue with it. I think the vast majority of people don't really care.
See, I don't really follow sports, but I do agree with Pete in the sense from what I've seen, at least, these past couple of years. Definitely, I think, the NFL is definitely very conservative. It's very political as opposed to the basketball, a league. I agree with Pete on this one, but again, I could be wrong.
I'm always wrong, according to Stuart.
Yeah, Danny, I said I was going to go to you and then Joe, and then we got to keep moving on, guys. We have a lot to talk
about. I wish him well. The only thing for me, the Raider fans are technically very machista. They're very outspoken. I'm using very nice words right now because there's other words I'd rather use. So I can easily see that he may not last long with that team because I think that there might be a big chance of verbal abuse coming from Raider fans towards him on the field, especially if he has a season where he doesn't produce any sort of positive results for them, especially with them being in a new city, in a new venue. But hopefully, this kind of helps bridge the gap between, certain Raider fans. Time will tell.
Yeah.
But I do wish him nothing but the best.
Okay, Joe, and then I'm going to move on. Go ahead, Joe.
Real quick to Mr. Nash, I want to say, first of all, congrats. Everyone has to pave a way, and you are paving a way. So here's to you. At the same time, I was watching because I'm a Dodger fan, and I remember Dodger was talking about Pride Month and how they were celebrating. And the comments that I saw on that, for a team that's in L.A., but like people from other parts of the country going in going, oh, God says that there is no homosexual is wrong. So there is no actual thing as Pride Week and all sorts of stuff like bananas stuff, and if you think about it, you think about a city like Los Angeles, which is a really the only other city I can think of that's probably more gay friendly than Los Angeles would be San Francisco. But I mean, the whole idea is that. We're a city that the Pride, and still the vitriol comments that I saw, and this was just on Pride Month. This was not even a player or something like that. So that's the thing I worry. But now, if he can stay, if he can stay strong, he's kind of being the Jackie Robinson for gay athletes now in a way. If he can stay strong and sick on it, eventually it's all going to come around.
Yeah,
it's the whole thing is does he have the tenacity and the to do it. So, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, you can't, I mean, there is a whole, it's iffy for me. I mean, I think that the NFL is more conservative than other places, but I would say just as much if someone came out gay in the NBA, they would have problems too. I would say that's already happened.
You can't compare him to Jackie Robinson in one sense. You're right. He is, as out gay men are in sports, this is a very Jackie Robinson-esque moment.
Right. But
the difference is that when Jackie Robinson came into the league was fully in support of meaning the ownership, the management were fully in support of starting to integrate the league with African-American players because they knew they had to. So this was already on a level where the decision was made to do this. The NFL has proven systematically that they want nothing to do with anything controversial, and that's why they blackballed Colin Kaepernick. So the idea that they have a gay player now that's actively telling people he's gay, that's not going to sit anywhere in the league. It doesn't matter what team it is, and it's all going to be backroom private talks. But Roger Goodell, who's probably the worst commissioner in all sports because he really did ruin the NFL in a lot of ways. By allowing like the spousal abuse, all the domestic abuse cases, all the times that they threw the head injuries under a rug and everything else. He's not going to be the guy that's going to say, "Oh, now I'm proud to have this guy as a representation of our league." He's not going to do it because it's just not what this league did. But yeah,
he actually did.
But the thing is, it's tacit. It's not real. You know, when
it doesn't matter what he actually thinks.
What?
It doesn't matter what he actually thinks. It's what he's going to do.
It will affect how he navigates and maneuvers as people react and more than likely in a lot of cases condemn the guy for coming out in the first place. He may publicly put out the nice thing, but how he really feels will impact how he handles.
Yeah,
going forward.
Wife beating and dog killers are better than being gay.
Yeah,
in some places, yeah, because you know what? A lot of the people that watch the NFL probably also knock the shit out of their wives, and I hate to say that, but that's and listen, I'm an NFL fan too, but I've become less of an NFL fan over the last couple of years because of these things. You know, it's like it's funny because I've probably become more of an NBA fan because of how much into the social justice aspect of the league they've gotten in the last few years. And not because I want them to champion every cause, but because I like the fact that they're allowing their players to have the right to champion those causes. And that's the thing. And it may be to their detriment because ratings were down in a lot of ways because of it, but you don't see the NBA stifling their players. The NFL will stifle players for doing this. If they knew ahead of time that this guy was going to do it, he would have been told not.
They did know.
Hey, well, also, you know, you're a Jets fan, so I mean, if you need a reason to not watch,
they knew ahead of time. They had a statement prepared. He made it pretty clear in his statement they did know ahead of time.
Okay, I still have like two more stories that I want to cover, so let's move on. It was announced today that Chris Brown is once again being investigated for assaulting a woman. This time, it allegedly took place at his home this past Friday morning, when police were called to his Tarzana home by a woman who claimed that Brown hit her during an argument. So my question is, why does it seem like Chris Brown keeps getting a pass when it comes to his violent activity? Is hitting women less of a crime than what someone like R. Kelly was justifiably punished for doing? Thoughts, difference. Let's start with you, Joe.
I'm sick of Chris Brown. I'm glad Chris isn't here because Chris would tell me, oh, but his music is fire. Yeah, no, I don't give a shit. This man beats women regularly, and I see all these women on Twitter that try to defend him because why? Because he's cute and he can sing. No, you know what? I always say that there was a woman I was talking to once who was a Chris Brown fan. And I was like, what if that was your sister that he beat?
Exactly.
Would at that point would it change you? Because no, this guy needs to be done. I'm not huge on cancel culture, but if I can cancel somebody, it would fucking be Chris Brown. Because this guy beats women. He doesn't give a shit. He also beats men, too. And the guy is a total thug loser. And I don't give a shit if he can sing or if he's good looking. You know what? I think somebody should beat him to the point where maybe he shouldn't be good looking anymore. He should get a little taste of his own medicine. Because all I ever see is he's constantly beating up women. You know what? That's one of the worst things ever. I'm an old guy with arthritis and he'd knock me down with one punch, but I'd love to take a swing at him.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe next time you come over, he doesn't live that far from us. Maybe you'll see him.
I will key his Lamborghini.
And
that's right. That's right. Cause you guys live in the black part of Calabasas, right?
We should stalk him, Joe. And just take that swing at him. That'd be great. Be good for the show. Good rating. Elizabeth, and then I'll go to Pete.
Yeah. I mean, the R. Kelly comparison is somewhat apt though, because both acts are,
what their hues are, were both terrible. But also remember, it took years and years and years for any charges to stick with R. Kelly. And he got off multiple times. And only now, within the last couple of years, has it finally stuck, because I think of a changing culture. In theory, because it's not underage women, I guess it's like not as bad. It's still bad. It's not good. No one, you shouldn't fucking hit anybody. And it is interesting that he seems to keep skating, though. But it's potentially at some point, you know, he's nowhere near the career highs that he was, you know, back in the day. So I guess that's sort of, he's mildly canceled in that sense. But yeah, it's, and he's, you know, as we know, far from the only artist who's done this kind of thing. And it is frustrating to watch happen in real time, though, that seemingly no matter how many times he does it, and it's verifiable and everything, he keeps walking. But
yeah. Pete, do you want to say something, and then I'll go to Stuart?
Yeah, I actually wish we had somebody on here who was a fan of his music, because maybe I can kind of think it out, because I heard all the stories about R. Kelly over the years, but I still liked a lot of his music. And when I stopped liking some of his music, it wasn't the music that I liked before. It was some new music when he got to a point where he was just basically doing pussy songs over and over again, black panties. And like songs, like these songs that were just so sexual that they went beyond, like, you know, when you sing Ain't Nothing Wrong With Bump and Grind, you might be saying the same thing, but you're saying it at least in some form of tactful way of saying it. But it's just, and I think that the two stories are kind of like able to, you can put them both together, because these are women that knew the reputations of the person that they were dealing with and still walked into a room with them. And that's not to say that either case they should have been treated the way they were. In R. Kelly's case, they should have been sexualized. In the Chris Brown case, they should have been assaulted. But it's the idea that the people still keep getting in that room with them. You know, that's the part I cannot figure out. And celebrity is great, and I guess that's probably most of it. But it's like, is this because the reason why does he keep getting a pass? And you know what? I know, Elizabeth, you said that like he doesn't have like the fame that he had before. He might not have the crossover fame that he had a few years ago, but he is still huge in urban music. I mean, because if he's not releasing his own music, he's on other people's records all over the place. I mean, if you look at the charts, he's probably on two or three songs right now where he's featured as the singer on in a top 20 song. And so... So it's not a question of whether or not he's still successful. He's still making millions of dollars. It's just that where's the culpability of record label people, of entertainment people? I mean, because at some point, yeah, it took 20 years to do it to R. Kelly, and then all of a sudden the label dropped and the management dropped him and everything else. But how many women does this guy have to beat? How many guys does this guy have to beat before somebody says, yeah, this is just not normal behavior. We cannot keep condoning it.
I mean, he could have beat them until they let him on the record.
Well, just still a critic, Charlie, because
he's getting so much praise from the critics for the albums. He's getting nominated still for Grammys. Mm-hmm. You know, anything after the third album, I honestly don't like. You know, I like his music up to the third album, and that's it.
I like the song he has with Pitbull. That's one of my favorite Pitbull songs. And
to your point about why do people keep going in the room if they know the reputation? It's because you think it won't happen to you. You think you are different. That yeah. you are, you know, yeah. you've been warned, but it's, you know, and obviously, you know, that sort of hubris, I guess, I do not think you should be, you know.
Well, do you think that this would end a lot quicker if he hit a white woman? Like,
unfortunately, probably. He beat the shit out of Rihanna, and there were photos of it.
I know.
And you would have thought right then that would be the end of it. But I hate to say it, I think that's actually an excellent point, is until he, you know, assaults a white woman. And that was why R. Kelly was getting away with everything for so long, because it was young black women and people. Yeah. And man, does the justice system not give a shit about young black women at all.
Yeah.
Man, we got to pull a Joe Pesci and Goodfellas on this guy, tell him he's going to get like a BET Lifetime Achievement Award. And then when he gets inside the basement,
I mean, eventually he's going to hit the wrong guy. And it's going to end badly.
Poor girl.
For him. Worse, escalate it. These violent domestic abusers like that escalate over time and usually to a fatal end. It's like you have to stop it sooner somehow and believe people who are telling you this, especially if they show up with physical fucking evidence on their face when it happens.
I mean, violence and anger is this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and we, people have said that he's blown up at stuff. He's constantly angry and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, but how long, you're right, how long do you let it keep going until something really, really tragic happens?
Yeah. And like Stuart said, you know, he's going to meet someone that he's not going to want to meet, and he's going to get it, and it might be Joe Newberger.
Or it could be the other way around.
No, I'm talking about the darker option of him killing someone.
Where he doesn't stop punching, where he keeps punching until somebody dies.
So it's scary. It's frightening. Okay, so people are up in arms after BET dropped the trailer for their new film entitled Karen, about a Black family who moves into a new house, and they're harassed and threatened by a white racist woman named Karen. Let's watch the trailer.
I guess this is a long way from East Point.
Baby, you just gotta give it a chance.
Tell me about your new neighbors.
They're Black. Do you mind keeping it down? If you don't comply, I'll tell the manager.
Somebody's taking home security serious.
Hi,
I am Karen Drexler. I'm your neighbor. You need to be taking your trash cans off the curb right when the trash is picked up. Is she nice?
Yeah, she's nice.
Wait a minute. We have a white entitled neighbor named Karen.
Karen. Hey, enjoy yourself.
There she is, slaving away in the kitchen. I've come across some very suspecting teenagers.
Suspecting?
Can you please hurry up? Please, they're very aggressive. Yep.
I left my wallet with my ID.
Leave us alone. We didn't do anything.
How the heck did you end up moving to this neighborhood? Next thing you know, we have criminals. You take care of him, and I will take care of her.
Would you mind stepping out of the car?
My office has uncovered some disturbing information on her and her brother.
She doesn't like Black people.
We have a search warrant.
Well, I'm Black. I know. She doesn't like you either. I want to sell the house.
What I do? You can't tell me, huh?
We are living next door to a racist. You went in her house? You wouldn't want your wife to know our little secret, right?
That was not standard police procedure back there.
What do we have here?
We got a hammer. Everything looks like nails.
You people are very angry.
Shut your mouth, boy.
Bad things happen to people that don't comply.
People are calling it BET's attempt at doing a knockoff Jordan Peele socially relevant thriller. So my question to you is, we so often hear bad movies as being referred to as being so bad that they're good. Do you agree with that being a good enough reason for some movies to be made and be seen? So is it just fun to, or should like a bad movie just be made?
Allow me, if I may.
Elizabeth.
The movies that are so bad they're good do not set out to be that way. They are put forth with an earnest effort, people thinking they're making a quality product that turns out terribly. And it's that earnestness is what makes it work. The problem with this is it is obviously addressing very real life and, you know, things that have happened to people. Actually, one of the hosts the show I work on, she's a Black woman. She's like, I will not be watching this because I see it enough in real life. There's no need for me to watch this lightly fictionalized version. And this is a movie that means well, I think, in its intention of being socially conscious and calling things out, but there's no subtlety to it. And this is not, I think this is going to be bad, obviously, but this is not, I think, something they set out in earnest to make like a high quality movie and fail at it. Like it's a bit of a cash grab. It's like giving, it's like the Lifetime treatment to, you know, a very serious subject and not trying like That's why Sharknado is kind of not really that funny. It's a bad movie that knows it's bad and is trying to be bad. Mm-hmm. And so then that takes the fun out of it. That's why the Mystery Science Theater 3000 stuff works, is because they take movies that were made with no intention of, you know, being campy or being riffed or anything like that, and that's why they're perfect for it. Like the Manos in the Hands of Fate is the most famous one. Those people set out earnestly to make a movie, and it's like one of the worst movies ever. But that's what makes it so charming and fun to watch.
And Elizabeth just ruined my Carinado joke that I was going to do.
and so this I don't think was earnestly necessarily set out the way, you know, I don't think they're necessarily thinking they're making like a quality. It's not quite the same.
Stuart, go ahead.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not sure that they didn't think they were making a good movie.
They think they're making a good movie, but I don't know how to explain
the issue is they're trying so hard. I think they're just trying way too hard, and it's not like they're trying so hard to lean into the socially conscious aspect. They're not actually making a movie. They're just making a bunch of scenes where Whiteley is racist.
I think what makes it not fun is because it's too close to real life. The lack of subtlety about any of it. I'm sure they did think they were setting out to make a halfway decent movie, but it also feels, like I said, a bit of a cash grab in a way, and trying to capitalize on something without really thinking anything through, and not, you know, it's a thriller, and there have been other thrillers like this about Black families being threatened in neighborhoods.
Did you guys see that them on Amazon Prime?
Right.
Fantastic. I mean, that it's hard to watch. It's really, really hard to watch. But that was an excellent show.
See, because the thing is, like Jordan Peele, like Get Out, is because that's taking to this extreme,
right,
to make it this horror thing. But what you have here, like it's so realistic. Mm-hmm. That if you start taking it to the extreme, it just seems to the point where it's silly. Right. Like, it's really tough to take this particular subject and turn it into what they want to turn it into. Now, it's a really great idea. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a good idea, and I think it's something and look, we're talking about it, so it's getting its what it wants. But I think as far as the movie subject, it's a really tough movie to write and to create. That it doesn't just make it sound like, oh, this is shit that I've seen every day on like YouTube and stuff like that. People have filmed, you know, to go beyond that, you know, oh, and her brother's a cop and he's a chief and stuff like that. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, this still could be any town. It's tough to make it go beyond that, which is what Jordan Peele's really good at.
Right.
Is to make it to where that twist is holy shit. And I just don't see where the holy shit twist is going to be in this.
Yeah.
That Karen is really black.
Actually, we do have the twist. I think Todd hit the nail on the head. He says, what if she was actually possessed by a Civil War ghost? And that's the big twist.
The twist is the elevator pitch for it. She's a racist white woman, wait for it, who's also named Karen. That's the twist. I guarantee you that was the whole entire pitch. That, like, not only is she white and racist, oh, we've seen white and racist. But have you seen white and racist with the real name Karen? You don't know we haven't.
That's
the twist. So they didn't really want to go for any other twists. They were just like, we're going to hit the nail on the head on this one. We're going to be completely like transparent about what we're doing here. We're going to tell you the whole plot in the title of the movie, and that's the end of it. This is it.
Because you could heighten it with like a Karen to the extreme, or like a neighborhood, like a weird like cult of Karens, and there's a lot of ways you could take this and heighten it in weird ways. Like Us, you know, Jordan Peele's Us was great. I thought one of the larger points was that there are two Americas, and they took that kind of this very bizarro extreme of everybody has a doppelganger that's been hidden under all these tunnels for years, and now they're ready to fight back and take over. Like, that was kind of one of the points. There's no bizarro heightening of, you know, what a Karen does, and unfortunately, because they're sort of so outlandish, it's like a Trump in a way. How do you parody these women who get on
the
histrionics and phones in the first place?
The way I would have done it is to make it a comedy,
right?
Where this like black really family moves in, you have Karen, but Karen is really wholeheartedly trying to do nice things for, but everything goes wrong. So everything that she does ends up looking like an ultra-racist. She really has this heart of gold and just wants to be a nice neighbor. Yeah. That's the way I would have done it. That's I think that would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
You worded, then we're going to go to our final. Well,
my pitch is
Amy Adams.
In the neighborhood, so they move in, they meet the first neighbor, Karen. Then the next neighbor they meet is identical, but like also Karen, but doesn't know that doesn't know that she's identical to all the other neighbors. So it's just an entire neighborhood of these exactly the same white Karens, played by the same actor.
Valley of the Dolls.
Like Karen clothes.
Like it's just like the same.
Here's the big reveal twist. Throughout the movie, her name is Cheryl or something like that. And then when she starts doing all these horrible things, they do like they start doing like an investigation like they always do in those movies. And they look at it, and it turns out she changed her name, and her name originally was Karen. And that's like, oh my God, it was Karen! Now we know why!
Wait, she changed her name in 2002. What was her name before? Karen. Dun, dun, dun!
Now, honey, I've got bad news. Her real name is
like Karen White, too. Like, it's something like, just incredibly...
So I want to end this question with Todd's comment. He says, fuck it, just add the Fast and Furious cast and make it a spinoff. So the last question, I'm actually going to incorporate the last question with our final segment. So this morning, Disney announced that Scarlett Johansson will be starring in Tower of Terror, another film based around a ride at one of Disney's amusement parks, like Pirates of the Caribbean movies, The Haunted House, and the soon-to-be-released Jungle Cruise film. So my question is, are there any rides at either Disney park or some other amusement park that should be made into a movie? Elizabeth, what are your thoughts?
First of all, there was already a Tower of Terror movie with Steve Guttenberg and Kirsten Dunst, and it's fucking great. And I don't need Scarlett. I married Colin frickin' Johansson getting her mitts on my favorite fucking ride between any of the Disney parks ever. Okay. God damn it, I'm so mad she's involved. I'm so mad because I love the Tower of Terror. They had a little Twilight Zone theme when it was so, oh, I'm so furious. Like, I've been seething about that all day. And second, I know there was a Haunted Mansion movie with Eddie Murphy. I would like another Haunted Mansion movie.
Ooh, by the way, Guillermo del Toro, which I think is so, was going to make a serious Haunted Mansion movie. I remember
because
I
was one even, of his 8,000 projects he says he's doing and then never does.
Well, yeah, no, it was going along really. It was going really far, but it was really, really interesting and all that. And like they already had cast like the narrator and some of that. Like it was going to be really good.
Cool.
Yeah,
that would be.
But I don't think anything ever happened from that.
God damn it, Guillermo.
Wait, so Elizabeth, so is it safe to say you probably won't be watching this version of Tower of Terror?
It's going to heavily depend. Is she acting in it? Probably not. Is she only producing behind the scenes? I got a fighting chance of going. But, I mean, the plot for the original one on the Disney Channel was pretty good and pretty spooky scary. Honestly, for like a Disney Channel movie, like Steve Guttenberg's like a ghost hunter and his daughter is Kirsten Dunst or niece or something like that. And they're going to like stage a ghost photo, but it turns out the tower is actually haunted and like five people disappeared on the, you know, it's, I know it's the plot of the ride or whatever, but it was well done and kind of spooky and intense in some ways, I thought, for like a movie of that era. And I was like, this is the best fucking Disney Channel movie ever when I was a kid.
So funny.
Maybe this one will be too.
That was Scarlett goddamn Johansson involved.
Pete.
You gotta let that go.
No, if you can hate Julianne Huff, I can hate Scarlett Johansson.
Hey, Danny!
Feel your anger on that, because you know what? It's justified. I never said you were wrong for hating Julianne Huff at any point, did I? I just thought it was funny.
Okay.
You're not wrong.
So now we know two people we shouldn't discuss are Elizabeth and Danny. Pete.
So, before I get to my answer about the what theme park ride should get a movie, it just dawned on me that if Colin Jost becomes a higher profile celebrity, that they could start referring to them as
Justin Johansson.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I fucked up the joke.
Ghost Hansen. I was there with the assist.
There could be Jost Hansen from now on.
Jost Hansen.
But
I thought they're splitting up, so you can't.
Joe's Hanson, as far as I'm concerned. What I was thinking would be, you would make a great movie, is the tram ride at Universal, that all these people get on it, and then they realize that they're stuck with Jimmy Fallon actually doing the ride. And he spends the whole entire ride complimenting, like, the couple from Kentucky in the front, talking about how great
their hair is. Your hair looks good. I like
it. And then instead of, like, where they go to, usually where they go, that part where they go to Amity Island where Jaws comes out, instead they bring out the screenwriter from Jaws 4, The Revenge, to explain how he came to the conclusion that the shark could come from the East Coast all the way to the Caribbean. And then maybe when they go past Mysterio Lane, Felicity Huffman comes out and explains that she really didn't mean to have to pay for, you know, her daughter to get somebody to cheat for her. Like, it's like that kind of, but it's like a horror film taking place on the tram ride.
That would be fun.
Jimmy Fallon has to be the star of that, because that would terrify me if I get stuck with Jimmy Fallon for that long. Two hours of Jimmy Fallon. Worse than Fever Pitch.
Danny.
Got to the backstory to Harold the Yeti from Matterhorn Mountain.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
You know, find something out, you know, and then it's set in the snow. So I think that'd be a good action film, probably starring Scarlett Johansson as the Yeti.
God damn it.
And then my favorite attraction at Disneyland, the Tiki Room.
Yeah.
And then when you come out, you get your pineapple delight right outside. Why can't I think of the damn name?
Dole Whip.
Thank you. You get a Dole Whip when you exit.
Nice.
I've got to do it with the Tiki Birds, man.
What's
love
the
that
plot? It can't just be 2 hours of room simulation. What the hell's the plot?
The birds end up doing something, and yeah.
Fair enough. That's all you need.
No. The plot is an explorer who goes off in the jungle and finds these birds that are just naturally doing the show and decides to bring them back to New York City for them to do it. And that's the whole plot. The whole comedy thing of trying to get them back to New York.
Maybe it's the Dole Corporation that
finds you. Joe.
This is tough because most modern theme parks are all the rides are based on IPs. So we talk about some older stuff. Especially since Tower of Terror is actually based on on the Twilight Zone, which now it's got its own movie. So weird.
Inception.
So I'm going to go a little different here. One of my favorite rides, which isn't around anymore in its original form, but that would be Journey into Imagination with Dreamfinder and Figment. And my idea is that there's a kid who's really sick and goes into a coma, and his other friends don't know how to help him. And Dreamfinder and Figment come and actually go into that kid's imagination with them to help bring him back.
Oh,
that sounds adorable.
I would watch that movie.
I think that would be a great movie, especially with Figment going around and messing things up, and then the whole thing and going in there and trying to bring this kid back. And there's a reason why he's in a coma. He's afraid of something, and they want to bring him back. So they go into his imagination to get him.
Okay. Stuart, finish us off tonight.
Well, I don't know any theme park rides not based on movies, but my favorite theme park attraction is the Waterworld show at Universal, so I think they should remake Waterworld.
Oh, no!
No, you can't. No. This can't be done, sir. It can't be done.
The Waterworld most people nowadays don't even know it was based on a movie.
I kind of like Waterworld. I'm not going to lie.
The Waterworld show has outlasted that movie. That's its legacy.
I would like to see another story take place in that world.
And the stupid thing is that I talked to some people at Universal because they are dying to expand Harry Potter, and they can't get rid of that stupid show. Like, every time they try to get rid of it, they can't, because they want to tear that thing down and add a whole Diagon Alley in here in Hollywood, and they can't do it.
That's the best thing in Universal.
That was the last thing to open up from the pandemic when the park opened up. And every day they would get tweets, when's Waterworld opening up? When's Water? And even the guy that runs their Twitter is like, are you people crazy? What?
Are you stuck with me? It's so nice. If you want in the splash zone, you're there. You're chilling. You get to watch some great stunt work, and if you've been on your feet all day, it's just a great way to like kick back for about like 15 minutes. Other people are performing. I also actually quite enjoyed the Animal Actors show. I had never been before.
Yeah,
I lost my fucking shit at that. I was so excited. Yes. I was a grown ass woman who was like, "Look at that guinea pig on the roof!"
that's like different. I get that because it's part of the whole movie magic thing. But like the water world, like how many jet skis have they gone through already on that damn show? Every single day, the guy goes six times with his blown up jet ski in the air, lands in the water. Which like the I'm surprised no one's died. Like an retirement. Audience member has not it's died awesome. Yet on that show.
Yeah, that's a testament to the quality of their work that they haven't called anyone.
It's awesome.
And that jet ski was one day from retirement, Joan.
Well, and let's not forget the railroad from Disneyland, how it goes through different things and it ends up somehow in the Grand Canyon and then in Dinosaur Land. So there's a movie right there, too.
That would be fun, too. Yeah. Good ones. All right. Well, that's a good way to end tonight's show. We went a little bit over, but that's okay. We hadn't been on for 5 days. So that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you back here again tomorrow. At 6 p.m. Bye,
Dear
everyone.
Dear TMI Daily tomorrow.
What?
Dear TMI Daily tomorrow.
Dear TMI Daily tomorrow. My favorite segment. Have a good night, everyone, and stay safe. Bye.